This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Did you hear I got snubbed this weekend, Nicole?
Snubbed?
Snubbed.
By whom?
Ursula.
Wait, you were not snubbed.
Me.
No. I went to the Teatro Zanzani in Woodinville, and I told you that I was going to be there. And then you said you were going to go to Tulalip. And I said, well, if I can get enough energy after the show, I'll come by.
Right.
I did come by, but I had to drop my my husband off at home.
Right.
I think I might have just been like 5 minutes off.
I was. What time did you get there?
Close to midnight, it turns out.
I was there till 1 a.m.
I know, but I stopped at a machine first. And then I went over there.
I told you I was going to be there.
But you didn't. No, and guess what? You know, I'm going to blame you because I did text you during the show, and did you text me back? No.
You're not supposed to when you're at the table. They frown on texting at the table.
I realize I text, and then I have to wait like 3 days before I get a response. So then, then you text me the next morning.
There are only three craps tables in the entire building.
I know. I think I may have just stayed at my machine a little longer than in my mind that I did. And then I walked by and you were gone.
What do you think, Nicole? You be the jury. Was I snubbed?
I think you were both at the casino much too late.
That is true.
On Friday night.
Yeah. we had a good 4 hour run.
That's a long time.
I know. And as long
at a craps table.
As long as you can hang in there for 4 hours, that's fine. That's just fine. Whether you win or lose, it's just fun if you have a good, solid 4 hours. You're up some, you're down some, you have good, big swings. You get close to even, and with 4 hours of fun.
and that close to even is like, that's a win in my book.
That's worth it for my entertainment dollar. Okay, before I get to all the news stories, I've got a couple of other personal things to talk about. So yesterday morning, my wife and I are driving home from church. Her phone rings. My phone rings. Our phones are just going crazy as we're driving home. It's our next-door neighbor, and she's telling us there's an eagle in our backyard chasing a possum. And the eagle was swooping down at this possum. The possum kind of froze. I don't know if it was playing dead. I've heard they do that sometimes. But the eagle was in my rope swing tree and swooping down.
Really?
And they took the neighbor took a picture of this beautiful eagle just sitting in the middle of my lawn. And I put the picture up on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, I'm so sorry I missed the, and apparently the possum got away. But that would have been, I would have loved to have seen, because I told you just a few weeks ago.
I think that just the swooping would have been enough. You don't have to see the possum actually getting attacked.
Well, there's a video on YouTube of an eagle picking up a baby mountain goat.
Okay. Aww.
It's incredible. Mountain goat, it couldn't carry it, and it dropped it, and the mountain goat tumbled down, then it went running off. But
that I can handle.
Yeah, and I told the story about the eagle that grabbed the salmon out of the creek and dropped it right in front of my wife.
I mean, eagles are just gorgeous.
But a possum would put up a little fight, I think. Yeah. I think. So I'd like to see an eagle and a possum go at it. So anyway, if they're listening, the eagle and the possum, come back this evening or late this afternoon because I want to see what the show you put on yesterday. And then, can I talk about just a little personal sad thing?
Sure.
Buddy, my dog, I mentioned that he's got some Vizsla in him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a long, Vizslas kind of have long tails.
Yes.
A lot of people bob the tails but or crop them. But we didn't. And Buddy, whenever he sees one of us, he's so happy. And he violently whips his tail, and he'll whip it into the wall, and it always sounds painful, but he does it with, you know, wild, loving abandon. I think he broke his tail this weekend.
No.
Yeah, it's got about a 30-degree kink in it.
Oh,
and he's,
no.
And he's in a lot of pain, and so I took a picture of that, and I put that up on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And then people start getting furious at me.
I am.
Because I said vet tomorrow, meaning today.
Yeah.
And people are saying, why haven't you taken him to the 24-hour emergency clinic? If that was one of your daughters, you'd take her to the ER. And
I said, if you busted your leg today, you would go right to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And it was another example of how people jump to conclusions on Twitter. Because we have a great vet that we had going all the way back to Star and even Barney and Thelma Lou before Star. And the last time my daughter took Buddy to the vet, mm-hmm. it took four... But did I mention Buddy's a little high-strung?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And anxiety.
Rescue dog from Texas, and he carries some childhood anxiety. So it took four of them to try to hold him while they tried to muzzle him the last time he was at the vet.
Yeah, that's like our Scooter.
Okay. And they couldn't get him muzzled because he's strong. He's made of nothing but muscle and sinew and love. Love is what holds the muscle and sinew together. Oh, she's like, just, oh, we cannot keep showing this video. Have you seen that video, Ursula?
Oh, no. This is like, oh, shiny penny syndrome,
Nicole,
today.
I saw it yesterday. Yeah, I'm off on a complete tangent.
Yeah, this
has nothing to do with
thought.
Buddy. No.
You just saw something on TV, and you're now like going on a tangent.
I saw a video yesterday of the worst sports injury I've ever seen.
I pulled the audio. We could play it.
I don't want to play it.
No, I want to play it.
And then Nicole showed it to Brock in front of me this morning. It's a gymnast. She does a double somersault, and when she lands, both of her lower legs snap.
Oh, no.
Snap.
An aerospace engineering major.
Such an impressive young lady.
Let's see how high she flies right here.
Yep.
Ooh. And I think she may be hurt.
Oh, like
that
thank
ankle
both
came down
legs
very awkwardly.
Clearly,
and she is
visibly
obviously
snapped. Okay, stop
that.
Oh,
man.
The announcer's kind of funny because her knees just go, they buckle and go the opposite way.
Yeah, the so knees dislocate and the lower leg bones snap on both legs at the same instant.
But he obviously doesn't have a great view because he keeps kind of trying to guess about the ankles and then the other host.
Anyway,
like,
I just saw that on the video monitor while I was telling the Buddy story. Okay, let me get back to Buddy. So the vet told us we would love to keep seeing Buddy, but you have to give him doggy downers before we will see him.
Oh.
Well, we hadn't filled the doggy downer prescription, so we tried to get it filled yesterday, and we couldn't fill it yesterday. So we're filling it at the pharmacy as we speak, but for all the people who say, you should have taken him in right now, we couldn't. Because he wasn't properly drugged.
Other vets don't know better.
It would have been ugly. It's just... Poor guy.
Is there nothing? I can't believe that the vet doesn't have, you know, a shot of something.
Oh, they do.
Them. Yes.
Yeah, they do.
So it's just your vet that's refusing.
Our vet is awesome.
I'm sure they are, but.
So anyway.
And how did you keep Buddy feeling comfortable overnight?
Yeah, he looks like he did something shameful because his tail is way between his legs. And we took him on a long walk yesterday.
Do you think he's going to have the tail cut?
I don't know. So I was reading about it online. They can either relocate it if it's dislocated, or they can amputate. Mm. And he seems to like his tail. You know, just like I'm holding off on knee replacement surgery.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Longer than you should.
Because I love my right knee, and it has served me so well over the years. But
you used your knee, however you say that.
What?
I can't get it out.
What'd you say?
Use your knee more than Buddy uses his tail. He wags it, but you cannot wag it.
And that's the thing. He hasn't been able to wag, and then he yelps in pain every little bit.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Buddy.
I just feel awful. It's horrible. So anyway, that's my little personal travails.
So right now, he's at home. In pain, just waiting for someone to take him to the doctor.
Shh. Shh, 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 shh. Okay, let's get some of the news here in the Fastest 15. Speaking of animals, in South Africa, a rhino poacher went into a national park, Kruger National Park. It was a guy with a rifle, and he had four accomplices with him. And their intent was to illegally kill a rhino. But I'm happy to... Nah, I shouldn't say that. Yeah, I don't mind this one. I shouldn't talk about human death in terms of happiness. But he was a dirty, rotten poacher, this guy.
Well, anyway, the rhinos are happy.
They were trying to sneak up on a rhino. An elephant came along, stomped and killed the guy. And then a pride of lions ate the man. All they found left were a pair of pants that the lions ripped off. It was like they were peeling a banana. They ripped off his pants, and they found the guy's skull. And so the four accomplices, they had to go and tell the guy's family. Then elephant stomped their dirty scoundrel poacher loved one to death. And then a pride of lions came along and ate him.
So far, every story in the Fast 15 today has created the same face from Ursula.
Well, I'm just trying to think of how, and maybe it was kind of karma for him. Is
yes,
that you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I just don't want to celebrate someone's death.
Nor am I.
There's probably a celebration in the wild kingdom there.
Well, yeah. We're being very descriptive today.
I know.
Yeah, what the heck? Up next in the Fastest 15, what are you laughing at?
Moving on.
Yeah. Well, you're Ursula.
Yes.
You're not going to make a face. You're not going to make a kumquat face at this story. So the NCAA championship game is this evening. Texas Tech against Virginia. I told you, and I played lots of sound bites of the Virginia coach, Tony Bennett, who is one of the finest men in all of coaching. And the more I learn about the Texas Tech coach, the more I have come to believe that he is among the finest in the coaching world. And when two guys like these two have succeeded to the very highest level of their profession, let me tell you about the Texas Tech coach, Chris Beard. 8 years ago, 2011, there's a little, and I mean a little, basketball minor league called the ABA. He was hired to coach an ABA team in South Carolina. He made $11,000 for the season. And
$11,000.
He paid out his players. He said, if you take a charge, I'll give you $10 cash. And so he ended up paying out a lot of his $11,000 because the players were making even less than him. They estimate that he lost about $6,000 that year because he would buy his players meals. He would, you know, give them little cash incentives. He was truly just banging around the bushest of bush leagues for his love of the game. One game, the other team only had four players. He called a player he had just cut and said, hey, go play for my opponent tonight because we want to have a game. Yeah, and they had a meal deal with Bojangles Chicken, and they got half off. So the players and the coach would always eat at Bojangles, and they said the restaurant lost a fortune on this guy. Anyway, this is a guy who has paid his dues, who went riding buses throughout, you know, from South Carolina down to Florida. And then he ends up getting a chance to be an assistant coach in college. Then he gets the head coaching gig at Texas Tech. He's making $3.3 million this year.
Wow.
But much more importantly, he is a man of incredible integrity. And just to think about Tony Bennett and Chris Beard as the two coaches tonight, I don't know who to root for. They're both
that's the best thing. They're both winners.
Yeah, and they're the kind of people we want shaping and molding our young men. And I was talking to a couple of friends in separate conversations this morning, and I do worry about our daughters and the fact that boys start watching porn when they're 12 years old on their phone. And
I just had a face there. Some boys. Not all boys.
90% of boys. And that women are, you know, they just, because of how easy access, the women are just, you know, looked at as piece of meat and objectified. And when I hear about the wonderful people who are shaping a bunch of young men in this game tonight, it makes me happy. Okay, and finally, what do you want to do? We got so many stories. Which is, of all of these, which is your absolute favorite audio? Because
what do we have?
Want to do the Howard Schultz?
We don't have a lot of time. Why don't you just do Biden?
Okay, all right. Okay, Joe Biden. So, you know, Joe Biden, he likes to sniff the hair of little girls.
And adults.
Ursula just gave me that look.
No, yeah, I didn't. I was just I think you need to just be, keep it accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like all? No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
A couple.
Okay. Joe Biden likes to sniff the hair of girls and women. And they've been saying, you know, these montages on YouTube and elsewhere, they make you look unbelievably creepy. And so they've talked to him because if he gets in the presidential race, he may be a front runner. So he's acknowledging that, and he's at an event this weekend, and there's a little boy, looks like he's about, I don't know, 9 or 10, and Joe Biden calls him over.
And actually, there's both in this cut that you're going to play, there's two moments where he makes fun of.
Yeah, he puts his arm around the little boy, which wouldn't be a big deal at all if it wasn't for all the talk about him being too touchy-feely.
That's the second one. The first one is the person that introduces him.
Okay, so this was the union event. So that was last week.
How tone deaf to make a joke about touching a little kid.
I had permission.
Hold on, let's start that one over. Here we go.
I just want you to know I had permission to hug Lonnie. I had permission. By the way, he gave me permission to touch him.
I'm sorry, that is tone deaf. When you have been criticized for being over-touchy with little girls and women. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Tim Iman had a setback in court on Friday. The AG says he doesn't want him ever to do an initiative again. We'll talk to Iman about this next. Well, saw the headline, Tim Iman had a big loss in court on Friday. Attorney General Bob Ferguson, he explained a while back why he was filing this lawsuit against Tim Iman.
Washington State has very strong campaign finance laws. The public has a right to know how campaign and political donations are used. And today we're announcing a significant campaign finance lawsuit against Tim Iman, against a for-profit signature-gathering firm known as Citizen Solutions, and also one of the principals of that firm, Citizen Solutions, William Agazarm.
Okay, and Bob Ferguson said that Tim Iman duped his supporters.
Tim Iman still managed to weave an elaborate web of financial transactions to hide campaign funds, enrich himself, while keeping his contributors and the public in the dark. Consequently, I'm also asking the court for a specific injunctive relief. I'll be asking the court to permanently forbid Tim Iman from participating in or directing financial transactions of any kind for any political committee. In addition to enriching himself, Tim Iman effectively duped his own contributors who thought they were supporting one initiative, Initiative 1185, but ended up supporting a different initiative, I-517, and Tim Iman personally.
Okay, Tim Iman's one of the most polarizing figures around. He has undeniably saved the taxpayers billions of dollars. He undeniably is one of the people that politicians hate the most. And Tim Iman joins us here on Cairo Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Dory, how you doing?
Okay, so let's get right into this. So on Friday, it was characterized as a loss in court. And you and I talked earlier, this is rather unprecedented that Bob Ferguson wants to preemptively prohibit you forevermore from participating in initiative financing. That's the essence of what he's trying to shut down here, right?
That's correct, yeah. The lifetime ban on any participation in financial transactions, and the judge ended up saying, I'm not going to rule on that, but the thing you really need to understand is that political action committees are financial transactions. It's like saying you can be a truck driver, you just can't use a truck. They're effectively making it where I would not be able to participate in any way on ballot measures, not just my own, but anybody else's either.
Okay, now, we were talking about this a little bit off. You're telling me off the air that you had a treasurer who handled the money for these initiative campaigns in question, and you did not have access to the money yourself?
That's correct. That's correct. The entire case has just huge fundamental flaws. And the big one is, when it comes to campaign reporting, it's the responsibility of the treasurer. And we had a CPA, a professional CPA, who handled all of our finances. I wasn't a signer on the bank account. I wasn't treasurer of the committee. I just didn't have access to any of this stuff. And the thing that they're alleging just flat out isn't true.
Well, let's go through some of the stuff he's alleging here, because he's had he's had lawyers. He's spent millions of tax dollars going after you. He says that you laundered the donations through out-of-state charities. So let's just pick these apart one by one. You laundered donations through out-of-state charities.
What I did was I loaned money to a foundation that does initiatives all over the nation. They were then paying me back, and he says those are campaign donations. They're not. I made a loan to an organization, which I'm entitled to do, and they were paying me back, and he's saying that those are campaign contributions. They were not.
Okay.
They were my own money.
But why would you loan money to an out-of-state initiative organization? What's the reasoning?
Because I wanted to build a business relationship with them, and because I was being contracted by my signature-gathering company to get them clients. And I was trying to get them additional clients by building a relationship with that organization that does national signature drives on initiatives all over the nation.
So what was in it for either you or them for you to loan the money that they were going to pay you back?
It was a loan, and I had been paid money by the signature gathering company to get them clients, and so I was trying to fulfill my obligations to be able to get them clients, and I was doing that by building a relationship with this organization that does signature drives all over the nation for initiatives.
What was the interest rate on the loan?
It's an interest-free loan that I ended up making to them. They were paying that loan back. And it was being paid back until I declared bankruptcy, and then at that point the loan basically stopped at that point. But it was a loan. We've got all the paperwork lined up for it being a loan. I was invoiced for the work that I did in the consulting. Bob Ferguson has a theory, and I think it's an unprecedented theory, is that Tim Iman personally is a political action committee, and that all my actions outside of the political committee needs to be reported as well. All my personal transactions, anything, you know, buying groceries, all that stuff needs to be reported. It's a completely unprecedented interpretation of the law, but they're saying Tim Iman is a political committee.
Okay, he also alleges that you personally profited. He says you pocketed hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign donations. What do you say to that?
They're not campaign donations. I don't have access to any of the campaign donations. The campaign was run by our treasurer. I did go out and try and earn money outside of the political system from asking for agreements with people, being a political consultant. I was asking people for help. The big thing that I really want to emphasize is that for the last several years, he's been coming after me. He's been wanting to be able to impose this huge, massive fine, $2.1 million, and a lifetime ban. I've had to spend well over $800,000 in legal fees in order to be able to fight that. That wasn't my money. It was just me going out there and asking people, please help me. Please hire me as a political consultant. Please give money to my legal defense fund. Please give money to me and my family. I've been trying to raise money all these years in order to be able to fight back against that, and he believes that all that money that I've raised are political donations. But they're not. The money that I've raised hasn't been used for a political campaign. It's been used to be able to fight back and survive this legal onslaught that I'm in the middle of.
Okay, so how much have you been making doing this, Tim? What's
how
on
much
your,
have I been making?
Yeah, what's on your
so far?
What's on your IRS file?
Going out.
What?
It's kind of money going out.
Oh, but you're living.
So much money coming in.
Yeah, but you're making money. I know you're making money on this. You've admitted it.
That's really hard. I mean, I filed bankruptcy because I ended up accruing so many expenses and so much liability that I ended up having to file for bankruptcy. The reality is a lot of people have been willing to help me be able to get to this stage that I'm at. But when you're dealing with, you know, the attorney general wanting $2.1 million and having $800,000 in legal expenses, all your money is going to simply trying to survive that.
No, I understand that, but you file an income tax form. We got filing date a week from today. I mean, what do you claim as income?
Let me see. Just throw out some numbers. I think this year I received $10,736 for the year in compensation from my political action committee for my political work last year. The year before that, I think my compensation for my political committee was like $80,000 or something like that. So it's kind of dropped like a rock because.
But your other work makes you.
Effectively made it where I can't earn money.
But I know that's not all you're making. I mean, you're making a lot of money in these other endeavors then?
The money that I earned back from 2012 got chewed up pretty fast by the $800,000 in legal expenses. I mean, it kind of overcame that.
Well, and I don't want to sound obsessed with this, but I think it's a fair question since you are such a public figure. 2012.
All good.
What were you making at your peak in 2012?
Let me see. I was contracted by the signature gathering company to go out and get them future clients. That year, they paid me $308,000 to be able to get them clients for the next 3 years, which I did. But I paid taxes on that money and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But I did take some of that money and loan it to an organization in order to be able to get them future clients. So I was trying to earn a living, trying to be able to take care of my family. But at this stage, all the litigation, the investigation was going on, and I was scrambling to try and raise money, not just to be able to take care of my family, but just simply be able to withstand the legal onslaught, which eventually accrued into $800,000 in legal expenses, a $2.1 million fine, and a lifetime ban. It's a full-on onslaught.
Right, no, I get that. And the reason I wanted to ask all these questions, Tim, is because I do agree with you that this is unprecedented to take away your First Amendment rights. And the Supreme Court has steadfastly, consistently ruled that campaign donations are an expression of free speech. And so to take that away, I mean, would Bob Ferguson tell people in prison for other crimes, you know, would you tell a rapist, a murderer, when you get out of prison in 20 years, you will never be allowed to organize a political initiative for, you know, to make things easier for rapists or murderers? I mean, he wouldn't do that. I just don't understand this future preemptive stripping of constitutional rights by Ferguson. I do think Ferguson's the most dangerous elected politician we've ever had in our state. I truly do.
Well, and the big thing I would emphasize is that since 2012, when this thing kind of started, this all was spurred by a complaint in early 2012. From early 2012 on, I've been through this stuff before. I knew how brutally expensive it was going to be. Unless you're a big campaign donor to the AG, you've really got to worry. And so for years, I've been doing everything I could to ask people for help. I asked them to give to my legal defense fund. I asked them to hire me as a political consultant. I've been scrambling for the last 5 or 6 years to try and get ahead of this thing because I knew how brutally expensive it was going to be. The AG is arguing that all that money I raised all needed to be reported because all that's political. And the reality is, if you ask Bob Ferguson, is your litigation political? He would say, no, it's just litigation. Well, if it's just litigation, then the money that I'm raising is not political either.
Okay.
I'm just simply trying to withstand the litigation that he's throwing against me.
Okay, I only have seconds left. Here's what I would say about all that. Okay. I would say that whatever Ferguson's allegations are, what your defense is, that should all be adjudicated by a court. I do think that clearly it is political. When Jay Inslee comes on my show and lies about never raising taxes, and it ends up costing taxpayers billions and billions of dollars because that may have edged him ahead of Rob McKenna in the race. When Ron Sims looks me in the eye and lies about Sound Transit financing when I had access to their books because I had a great mole, and that bilked taxpayers out of billions of dollars, they don't have any consequences like what you are facing as a private citizen in a political world. And that's where I find Bob Ferguson's actions so disturbing here.
Well, and I think that the big thing we're talking about is free speech. Whether you like what I do or don't like what I do, whether you like the initiatives I'm doing, like $30 tabs, or you don't like them, you have a government that is simply coming down on one person that has done ballot measures, and it is hard to imagine that this same thing would be happening to a liberal sponsor of initiatives. Yeah. And, you know, it is really hard as a private individual with no, you know, regular backing, if you will, to be able to have enough money to keep up with the litigation. And so I've asked people for help, and I think Bob Ferguson is furious that so many people are willing to help me, and I'm just hopeful that people will understand that I'm not massively making tons of money right now. All I'm trying to do is just be able to keep up with the extraordinary costs that are involved, including bankruptcy, including lawyers, including all the crap that's going on.
Understood.
I swear to you.
I got to wrap it here. Run way long.
And again, it's timdefense.com. If somebody can help me, I'd sure appreciate it. Timdefense.com for my legal defense fund.
All right. Tim Iman, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Ben.
Okay, all right. I'd like to hear your thoughts. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Man, I tell you, some people on the internet have way too much free time. So Barack Obama gave a speech this weekend. It was a town hall in Berlin. And somebody went through this entire town hall and they counted and they determined that he talked about himself and said, Obama, that he said it 392 times. The fact that somebody counted it is ridiculous. The fact that somebody edited all 392 together, I'm only going to play you a few seconds of this.
President Barack Obama.
You know, it's been over 10 years since I spoke to a slightly larger crowd. When I was running for president, I'm as excited as I have been ever. I'm here to begin.
I mean, how unbelievably petty. I mean, there are things to criticize him for. But come on.
I'm in mine.
He said, 274 times, me, 25, my, 31. I mean, it's like some of the ridiculous criticisms of Trump. All the things you're going to criticize him for, that one's a little petty, I'd say. Big Lead at 2 is coming up next.